Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community. Hi everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of Rediscovering Self with Amrutam. I'm your host, Preeti, and I hope you're all doing well. It is that time of the year again. Festivities, food, fun, it's all adding up. We're wrapping up the year. It's been a difficult one, and celebrations have been a little different, right? The thought that we're unpacking in today's episode is actually very linked to all of these festivities. What tends to happen is we tend to stuff our faces with food, right? No regrets there, well, for the most part. But the sheer guilt that can sometimes come with binging on too much of Christmas cake or eating an extra cookie, it can be crippling. The thought that we're unpacking today with a mental health professional is, I don't like how I look. A lot of discussion on body image issues, on the thoughts that go on in our head behind it, and where these come from. Joining me on today's episode is Rhea Matthews, a mental health researcher working for an NGO called Sangat in New Delhi. She also practices as a counseling psychologist and works towards building safe spaces for people to express themselves. In her time away from work, she enjoys playing sports, reads, and journals. Rhea, thank you so much for joining us here today on this podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Preeti, for having me here. I'm quite excited and I'm always, always happy to speak about mental health.
You and me both. And today's topic itself is something that after speaking to you initially as well, I've understood that both of us are quite passionate about. And it's something that I just want to dive right into because we do live in this world, you know, that places some amount of value on physical appearance. And it's probably fair to say that a lot of us like to look a certain way a lot of the time. But I think there is, at least at some point in time, a thought that has crossed each of our heads, and that is that I don't like how I look. So where does this thought come from, and what is this obsession behind wanting to believe that there's a certain standard to actually aspire to?
Okay, so this is quite a complicated question. I want to just ask you, you know, how many times have you heard or said this to yourself probably?
Well, you're talking to someone who's been battling body image issues since years. So there have been too many moments, far too many to count, where I've looked at myself in the mirror and thought that, you know what, this is not ideal. You know what, there's too much flab here. Oh my God, why does my face look like this? So it's endless. I can't even count.
And what about others, people around you?
I don't think I've met anyone who is 100% happy with either their face or their hair or their body or some aspect of their physical appearance. So I'm sure it goes on in people's heads.
So I think even in that statement, you're able to kind of see how this is universal for people, you know, across cultures and across time. Not being happy with your appearance and not being happy with your body. And like you had said, it's something that's easy. It's easy to feel that because you are surrounded by messages, constantly surrounded by messages telling you that you are not good enough, not worthy enough. You have to look a certain way to be lovable, to be cared for, to be worthy. And that starts at home. That's reinforced outside home. So let's say in your school environment. And then again, you know, when you open up your phone on social media, diet, cosmetic, fashion, entertainment industry. What are the messages that they are giving you about your body? Everybody knows this. So the thing is that we hear all these messages, they're getting reinforced and they become internalized, right? You hear from someone in your family that your body looks like shit. You start believing that yourself. You start saying it to yourself, you know, my body looks like shit. So it's kind of a complex interplay between socio-cultural factors, psychological factors. That means, you know, situations of abuse, sexual and physical abuse, instances of bullying, trauma, being in a difficult household while you were growing up, and of course, biological and genetic reasons as well. For instance, if there has been a history in your family of someone being concerned about their weight and focused on their appearance, you are more likely to grow up in an environment that becomes critical about your appearance as well. And those are messages you start hearing as a young child, right? So those messages become your own. So like I said, it's a complex interplay between all these different factors.
It's actually scary how that's somehow the only truth that a lot of us grow up with. Because like you said, if it is something that is starting at home itself, then we don't know any different. That's our conditioning. And then when we get into the world outside and there is just capitalism all around, which thrives on our own insecurities, all of it is so subtly conveying messages to us that we are probably just internalizing, like you said. And that's how we live. We don't even realize that there might be something wrong with the way that we're thinking, and that maybe how we look is actually perfectly fine and normal. So in a lot of ways, given that you said, you know, that this is universal, there is some sort of an impact in our day-to-day behavior, right? When we speak to other people, there is some level of insecurity when we see how they look versus how we look. There is some level of insecurity that comes in a professional setup because you're supposed to present yourself a certain way. So there is so much of an impact because of this one thing that has been fed to us since when we were kids. So how large is this impact really? If I have to think about the consequences of me thinking this way, how do I look at it?
So one thing to note is that I would think that it's quite normal, you know, to dislike your body in this kind of environment we live in. That is a normal reaction to what is happening around us. If we are continually getting, like I said, messages of our bodies being shit and not being good enough, it makes sense to not like our bodies, right? It's almost radical to accept our bodies, to love our bodies, to appreciate our bodies. You know, it's liberating, but it's hard. So that's one thing I just want to kind of clear right there. And how it impacts us, oh gosh, I don't even know where to begin. But the main thing that comes to mind is time. It is emotionally exhausting and draining, and it just takes so much of your time because your life is constructed around your body. Right. So maybe this is something you relate to, but this is something I experienced. So if you're concerned about how you look, and when I say look, I'm talking about my body over here. I'm thinking about how many hours I'm going to exercise, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to eat after, how I'm going to feel after I eat that food. What happens after I finish eating? How am I going to combat that guilt feeling the next day? So it's spending hours and hours of my time in a day just thinking about how to kind of stay in control of my body, or how to control actually my body. And that is the main thing, how it affects you. Otherwise, maybe you'd like to share, you know, how has it affected you?
I think for the longest time, I wouldn't even wear shorts. I think till I was 22 or 23, because I was like, I hate how my thighs look. So imagine every time that I had to just go to the beach to enjoy myself, I would spend days overthinking before that about what I would wear, about what people are going to think of me, whether I need to start dieting like a month or two in advance just to maybe try and lose a few kilos. But like for me, like, you know, as someone who is still dealing with all of these issues, I feel like for me, it has been more of a journey from really hating my body and covering it up to accepting that it is functional. And I think that itself has been like a massive step ahead for me. It's not been about loving my body, because that itself is something that I feel like I'm forcing myself into, you know, and that also plays on my mental health, that I'm not doing enough to love my body. So I feel like for me, it has been a journey to just accepting it so that I don't, like you said, waste time thinking about what is not good about it and focusing more on what I can do with it. So for me, it's been more of an acceptance journey. But even now I think about, I should get up at 6 o'clock so that I can work out from 7 to 8:30, and then I can have breakfast at 9, and then there'll be enough gap for a fat burn. So, you know, it's like an endless kind of a journey. But I think moving towards accepting it from hating it has really maybe been a bit of a game changer for me, which has actually saved me a lot of heartache and heartburn, I must say.
So I resonate with that completely. This is something that we can speak about in more detail, but you know, moving from negative, hate, disgust, anger, shame, moving from there to positive, which is joy, appreciation, love, it's really hard. So sometimes even getting to a neutral place can be so empowering, where you just don't pay that much attention to your body. Your body does not consume you in a day, and you're able to kind of place your mind in other aspects of your life and yourself. And over here, we keep talking about bodies, and it becomes so evident that we attach a lot of our self-worth to our bodies, right? Yep. So I also want to speak about that a little bit, because that'll help us understand, you know, how it really affects relationships and behaviors a little bit more.
So I did have a question over here, actually, because when you asked me how this has impacted me, one area where it has definitely impacted me is in relationships.
And, you know, when you keep seeing these beautifully perfect couples getting together and you're like, oh my God, they are made for each other, you know, like in all aspects, they look amazing. They, you know, he's taller and he's built and she's beautiful and she's slim and, you know, they're definitely worthy of each other. And that kind of gets me thinking that, oh my God, am I even worth it? Like, if I'm not looking a certain way, will nobody fall in love with me? I think that's a massive insecurity. And it also stops me from approaching people, whether it is for a romantic liaison or just in general, because I don't know how to talk to someone because my self-worth is so focused on the fact that I have a paunch and I have cellulite. So that is a massive, massive roadblock, right? And anybody thinking that way, I know how many roadblocks I've hit. So how does one start dealing with this?
So I think you kind of hit it on the nail. Something that I didn't mention earlier is that a lot of body image issues and concerns related to disordered eating and exercising, etc., there are underlying triggers. So certain unmet needs that's getting manifested in the form of your body. So for instance, the way you said it, you know, you felt like you were unlovable, that you were not worthy enough. So that's an unmet need. And feeling that way, you know, feeling not good enough, feeling that someone can't be there for you, can't care for you, can't love you, can't appreciate you. You manifest all of that insecurity on your body, you know, and your body, it's easy to do that because your body is something that's tangible, that you can work on, that you can see the results, that you can control or believe you can control with diet and with exercise. And all of those, because if you hold these beliefs, you know, feeling unloved, for instance, if you hold that belief about yourself, what do you have to do about it? Where do you even start? It's kind of overwhelming, right? So you look to your body as a way to kind of control that emotion and control that feeling. And once, you know, that's the tricky thing about getting into body image issues and having an eating disorder. It helps you feel that control. You do feel powerful. In that instance, you are fighting against feelings of being helpless and out of control, and other things are happening in your life and you just don't feel like you cut it and you're good enough. And food and diet and body become a way to kind of regain that power. So often people say, and I don't know, I'd like to hear from you as well, that when you purge or when you restrict yourself from eating something, you know, you feel relief, you feel something good. You feel like, okay, I can go on with my day. So I don't know if that's something that you ever felt like maybe after exercise or after restricting yourself from eating something that you really wanted to, or if you've ever, you know, made yourself puke or had a laxative or, you know, just not eaten for days.
Speaking very specifically about me over here, I love my food. And I'm literally such a big believer of fries over guys. Like, I cannot even tell you. I love my food. So my only eating disorders have been where I have had dessert a little extra. Like, I wouldn't even call that a disorder. I just think it's something I love. But for me, it's a war between, you know, wanting to feel worthy, but not punishing myself to feel that way. Because for me, if I were to puke or take a laxative, that would be punishing myself. I can't do that to myself because I have grown to respect my body. So it is such a tight set of instructions, or I don't know if I should call it instructions, or like my requirements are that I want to be myself and yet I want to be loved, but I still don't feel good enough because I'm not ideally sized. So
yeah, I mean, that's so complicated, right? Even that sentence that you just said. Yeah. And it's all somewhere interwoven. The way you feel and think about your body, the way you feel and think about yourself, how you decide to go about your life. And I said this earlier, right? You construct your life based on your body then. Whether you go out with friends, whether you start saying no to dinners, whether you kind of quickly go into the bathroom. And this is something that I've done, where you go to the bathroom, make yourself puke, come back, act like everything's okay. And you just live in that shame spiral. And you don't share any of your struggles with anyone. You become this super unhappy person in relationships. It affects your sex life. It affects your ability to experience joy, pleasure, rest, playfulness, all the things that we need to kind of give our bodies for it to be nourished. The moment you get down this slippery slope of, like you said, it's almost like instructions, right, of how you have to stay in control, it can very easily go from restricting certain dessert at night all the way to calorie counting. and then beginning to diet and then over-exercising and then getting into the more extreme forms of behaviors where you're actually making yourself puke and you're having laxatives and you're not eating for days. So again, it ranges on a scale. So it's really important to kind of be aware of this.
It's so surprising, or it's actually sad that that one statement that I don't like how I look, which sounds so simple on the upfront, can actually, if you start digging deeper, bring out this whole host of underlying causes and thoughts and conditioning from behind it. And it can turn into something really, really dangerous. You know, it's like we're putting our own health and happiness on the line just to look a certain way because of society, or because there is a certain pressure on us to look and feel a certain way. And it really stops us from living our life. Like you said, you've had to deal with so much and you weren't even able to share it with someone else, or, you know, maybe get some kind of understanding that what you were doing might not necessarily have been healthy. Similarly, in my case, for the longest time, I just kept thinking that I'm fat and I don't deserve to be loved. And even though now I feel like, okay, fine, I'm fat, but I'm happy with my body that it can function X, Y, Z, but I still don't know if I can be loved. There are like these small levels of progress that we're able to achieve, right? Like little steps towards an end goal. So if I were to start unpacking this thought and understanding where it's coming from, how it's affecting my life, and I actually start understanding all of that, how do I start translating that into maybe getting better or accepting myself, if that is even something that is in the realm of possibility in today's world?
Definitely a possibility. Definitely it can happen, but it is a long and difficult journey. At least for me it was, and it's not easy because you are literally fighting against all the messaging you're receiving. That includes yourself, by the way. So in this whole situation, if you have a tendency to be self-critical and to believe in the perfectionism ideal, then of course your body is going to be something else that you work on, as are other aspects of your life. So really doing that inner work, you know, like I said, when you have body image issues and eating disorders, there are unmet needs, there are underlying triggers, there are things that have happened to you in the past or things that you have internalized, which you need to become more aware of to understand how it's affecting you today. So that inner work becomes really important. And then there are so many kind of tips and strategies, you know, do not surround yourself with people who talk about their bodies, your body, or anybody else's bodies, especially in a negative way. Do not tolerate, you know, comments by family members. Oh, beta, you put on some weight now. You know, just say, I'm not okay with this statement. I'm not comfortable with it. If you start being assertive that way, you know, moving away from counting your calories, just let yourself eat whatever you want. That doesn't mean you just eat, you know, junk for 7 days a week and you don't sleep and you don't move your body, but realizing what's healthy and what is bordering on unhealthy. You know, are you giving yourself one cheat day and in that cheat day you are kind of going mad? That was me. One cheat day I would give myself a week and it was pizza, ice cream, donuts, whatever I wanted. And then following that was just a bunch of guilt and anger and hatred and disgust. So getting out of that cycle is just kind of slowly changing your relationship with food as well, you know, where it just becomes something that you do to nourish your body and really give your body. Because our body gives us so much, like you said, right? Thinking of it in a functional way. It helps us live, and it is a very important part of our identity. So just recognizing how to nourish it. You know, these are the main things that I would say. And one thing about social media, you will open your phone and you will 100% see an airbrushed image of someone. Tailor your social media feed. Have it be more inclusive. Have it be more diverse, representative. See more bodies. Become normalized to different types of bodies. And just realize that this look of people looking fabulous and having fabulous relationships and great sex, you know, that's not the story for everyone. Like I said, 90% of women in our research done by Brené Brown showed that they all have experienced shame about their bodies at one point or another in their lives. So it's these kind of little things that you do. And if you can afford it, go for therapy. It will help you.
Right. I think those are some very useful tips that you've shared over there. The most pertinent one, I think, being about social media, because that is definitely something that is dominating our lives. You know, like it's just one tap of the phone and we are scrolling through 1,000 images of 1,000 different people living 1,000 different lives. So, and like you said, it's not always the true narrative that is shown over there. You know, there's one beautified, airbrushed part of life, which we don't even know the complete story behind. So knowing that itself can be a complete game changer, because not everybody talks about their worst self on social media. I don't. So that's definitely not out there. So I think that's a very, very useful tip. And I definitely believe that boundaries totally help. I feel like once I started accepting my body and I started working out just to feel better rather than to lose weight, to feel stronger so I could travel more rather than to just be thin and fit into clothes, I also started separating myself from people who would make me feel bad about it. You know, it was like, oh, you're working out. What's the point? You're not going to get thin anyway. Like, why do you need that negativity in your life, right? You just don't. You're doing something for yourself. That feels amazing. But there's one very interesting thing that you mentioned, you know, that, and it's come up multiple times in the conversation about these unmet needs and triggers and a lot of stuff that gets internalized and requires a lot of inner work. Therapy, of course, has gone a long way to help me as well. And it is something that I do recommend to everybody, like you also did. But for those of us who might not really have therapy accessible at this point, is there any way that we can start identifying these triggers and these needs that we really need to start working on?
Yeah, so one thing I can suggest is to practice critical awareness. So what that means is just noticing when you're feeling a certain way, what are the thoughts coming up and what are you doing in terms of your behaviors? Are you kind of engaging in some sort of harm to your body? Are you not letting yourself eat? Are you kind of overindulging in food? So it's maintaining, you know, certain hunger cues and nourishing your body in that way, but also seeing what's happening around it. So thoughts, beliefs, emotions, just practicing that kind of awareness and curiosity and seeing how you feel. Even if you engage in that behavior, what happens after that? Because even the aftermath of that becomes very important to kind of work through. So this is one thing that I would suggest. And the second is surround yourself with supportive people, people who recognize your worth beyond your body. Because what happens is when you get fixated and obsessed about your body, it becomes something so important and overwhelming to the exclusion of all else, all of the other aspects of you and all other aspects of your identity and your life. So just recognizing that you, there is more to you, and surrounding yourself with people who remind you of that, you know, constantly. That becomes really important. And the last, of course, how could I forget? Share your struggles. Do not do this alone. Do not think that you have to do this alone. It might be difficult. Reach out. Once you reach out, you're giving the space for someone else to also open up about their struggles. And through that, you kind of form really meaningful relationships with people and you work towards building each other up. So it's kind of accessing and creating, not just accessing, creating and then accessing that social support for when you need it.
I think these were so, so beautifully put. Just being aware of what we are thinking, surrounding ourselves with people who lift us up and knowing that we are actually not alone. So even when you open up, like you said, you know, it's always opening up space for others to come forth. And that's when these stories really start coming out and that moves towards normalization. So I think these are brilliant points to be bringing up. And on that note, Riya, I want to thank you for taking out the time to have this chat with me. I think it's been so enlightening in these last 20 minutes or so, where we've managed to understand the root behind all of these kind of thoughts, behind this particular thought that comes up. And just knowing that there is so much to unpack behind it itself is a step in the right direction towards actually working towards getting better. So thank you so much, Riya. It's been wonderful having here. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been very, very helpful.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Preeti, for having me here.
I genuinely hoped all of you enjoyed listening to this episode. There was a lot of deep diving happening in there, so it's fully understandable if you want to take some time off to process what was said. Again, it's Christmas time. New Year's is almost here. Partying may be on the cards, but don't let yourself feel guilty for the occasional indulgence. Have fun. Understand yourself a little better, and maybe we'll all start getting better together. Our topic for next week is, I can't get out of bed. It's an interesting one. So tune in at 8 p.m. next Friday, and I'll see you there. This is Preeti signing off. Bye-bye. Take care. Stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community.